Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here we are again. Amen. I'm excited to get in the Word today. I'm excited for what God has for us. Amen. God's Word is always good, and it's always taking us somewhere. Amen. Praise God. It's always going to take us somewhere good. And I just want to commend y'all because, you know, people stepped it up this week. Amen. And that worship, listen, that worship, don't just do it here. Take it home with you. Definitely do it here, but take it home with you. That worship is what gets us through. And it was on my heart to share a scripture with you before I got into the message today, or some scriptures. I hope you don't mind. They're found in Psalm 81, starting in verse 8. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to know that whenever God's talking about Israel, whenever he says the people of Israel, or he's talking about Israel, he's talking about his people. Amen. And the Bible tells us through study, we know that the Bible also tells us that we are those same people, that we've been brought in, we've been adopted in. And so whatever they have, we have. Only we have more. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it says, starting in verse 8, it says, "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you. Nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And that just really represents any land of captivity that we've been in, and any bondage that we've been in. Amen. He's the Lord that brought us out. "Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." Praise the Lord. Open your mouth wide. Praise God. He's talking in the context of worship. Amen. And this is what he does. He says, "You open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." Now going on, it says in verse 11, "But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels." Praise God. He's saying that when people won't listen, he gives them over to that. Praise the Lord. He's telling us how to do it. He's told us how to increase. He's told us how to have victory. He's told us how to win. He's told us all these things. But listen, if we won't listen, if we won't do the Word, he'll give us over to those things. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. And it goes on to say, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies. I would take care of them. I'd wipe them out. And turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with the honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you." God wants to take care of his people, amen? But it's found in obedience to God. It's found in obedience to his Word, amen? Well, aren't you glad for the Word? That's a good way to start off. You know, there's nothing sad in there because we can choose every day. And that's what I love about this is, you know, we can see we can have a somber moment when we look at the correction of what could happen, amen? But at the same time, we can have a joyful moment in the same moment because we can just say, "Hey, I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to get hooked up to that." Amen. I'm just going to do the Word. And because I'm going to do the Word, he's going to be there for me. He's going to put down my enemies. He's taking me on. He's taking me through. He's taking me over. Amen. Glory to God. God has never left us nor forsaken us. Amen. But people sometimes walk away from God, don't they? Amen. And just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean that they're coming to God. Sometimes people walk away from God in their hearts. And we're going to be learning about that today. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called "The Treasure of Your Heart." And we're going to start, or this is based, start in Scripture, Matthew 6:21. So why don't you go ahead and turn there with me. "The treasure of your heart," praise the Lord. And what we're going to be talking about, you know, we're also having, we're having communion today. And it is interesting, both these were on my heart at the same time and not because of one another in my own mind, but the Lord has ordained it. Amen. And don't you know that, you know, we're going to learn about communion today as it applies to us, but we're also going to learn about, why we do it. I hope that you'll walk away with some knowledge of why we do it. We don't just put bread in our mouth, and we don't just take a little shot of whiskey. Praise the Lord. No, that's not what we're doing. It's not wine either. It's grape juice. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's the finest of the fine grape juice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know. It's just Welch's or something, right? Maybe dollar store grape juice. I don't know what they bought. But praise the Lord. It's grape juice nonetheless. And it'll bless us. Amen. But, you know, it's not just about a ritual of doing that. There's a purpose in it. Amen. And we see here, I'll start in Matthew 6:21. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Whatever your treasure, whatever's important to you, whatever means something to you, that is what your heart is going to be directed towards. That's what your thoughts are going to be directed towards. Now, you know, we can have thoughts that aren't godly thoughts. We can have thoughts that aren't good thoughts. I'm not saying that. But we're talking about it on a consistent basis. You know that? The Word talks about that. You know, a lot of people don't understand that, even about sin. You know, if you mess up in an area, God isn't going to throw you in hell just because you mess up. He isn't looking for a reason. And we've said this before, but dear Jesus, some people think it. God is not looking for a reason to punish you. He's not looking for a reason to take away from you. God has looked for every reason that he can pour into us. Every way possible he has provided. And he did that first and foremost through his son, amen? So God isn't looking to just take away from us. But where we continually, our hearts continually are, it lets us know what we treasure. Praise God. And you know, a lot of people will say, there's like, I love my local church, but they don't ever go. Then that's not their treasure. You can say it all day long. You can think it all day long, but you prove it in what you do, where your heart is. See, my heart is with my wife. I can't be with another woman. My heart is with my children. I don't go out looking for other families. Amen. My heart is with my church. I ain't skipping around going to other places trying to find my fill. No, my heart is where that right there. So that's where my thoughts go. That's where my time goes. That's where my money goes. Praise the Lord. That's where everything that I am goes. I pour it into my local church. I pour it into the plan of God for my life. Praise the Lord. See, it matters. And what we're talking about today is we're talking about being body-minded and stop being, my wife was talking about this a little bit. We're not talking about being individual-minded. Yes, like she said, when you come into church, you come in because you have issues that you need ironed out. And praise the Lord for that. That's what we're here for. But if you stay there month after month after month and year after year after year, you just see the local church is a place that's for you, then you miss everything and you miss the blessing of God. You will never walk in the fullness of God. Why do people not walk in the fullness of God? It's because they don't follow his word. They don't do what he says. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So look at where your heart is, and you'll know what you treasure. When you look at do you know what I mean by your heart? Your heart is like what means something to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Some people give it up for foolish things in the world, things that perish. You know, actually, the scriptures just before that, Jesus said in verse 19, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, he's not saying that it's wrong to have anything, that it's wrong to have money, but he said, don't let those things be your treasure. Don't let those things be the things that are so important to you that you forsake the things that really matter, is what he's saying, amen? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, when your treasure is in heaven, when your treasure is with the plan and the purpose of God, hallelujah, then you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about all the other stuff. You don't have to worry because the things that you build in the kingdom of God, they can't ever be taken from you. And they bless you here. They're for you here. See, this is the deception of the devil. They think, well, if I hold on, if I hoard, if I keep to myself, if I just do for myself, if I take care of me, praise the Lord, then I'll be fine. But see, don't you know you can't guarantee when you take care of you, do you? Have you ever been bamboozled by something? Have you been going along in life thinking everything was fine, then all of a sudden a bill comes that you don't know how to pay? Have you ever been going along in life and all of a sudden maybe you get an injury and you can't go to work anymore and you don't know what you're going to do? Have you ever had something like that? Have you been driving down the street in your car? Everything's fine. Praise the Lord. We were on vacation once. We were miles away from home. Miles away from home. Notice I'm talking about a different one. Yeah, we've had this happen several times. Miles away from home, and then all of a sudden the car just quits. Middle of the afternoon on a Sunday, I think it was, on Memorial Day weekend. Praise the Lord. How many know it's hard to find a mechanic? Praise the Lord. So we're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we are in the middle of nowhere, somewhere down in Maryland, and the car quits, and what are we going to do? Praise the Lord. You don't know what you're going to do. How many know that that's an issue you can't control? Amen? I couldn't control that. I didn't come up with that. I didn't plan it into our budget. I didn't plan it into anything, in fact. I never even thought about it. See, that's what life is like. Life will have things, will throw things at you. There'll be things that'll come at you trying to rob and steal and take from you. But see, when you're founded in this life, when you're founded on your own whims or your own strength or your own ability, then that's all you have. That's what you got. But see, when you're founded in heaven, when you got heaven backing you, when you've been building up treasures in heaven, when you've been setting those things aside, praise the Lord, the right things aside, then you have everything you need. Because God is there, amen? He's there with you. He's there ready to take you into all that, amen? But it matters what we think on. It matters where our heart is, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to share this scripture with you just real quick. Ezra 8:22, it says, "For I was ashamed to request of the king." And actually, I want to skip that first part because it's just a lot of extra that you don't. We don't need the context for this, but he says the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek Him, but His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him. Look at that. The hand of God, our God, is upon those for good. Everybody say for good.
For good.
For good means He wants to do what?
Good.
He wants to do good in your life. He wants to build you up. He wants to make you stronger for those who seek Him. Now, how many of you know you can't seek the Father but reject the kingdom? You can't seek the Father and reject His body. Amen? Everything to God was Jesus. Jesus meant everything to the Lord. And Jesus said that we are His body. Amen? He became the head, but we became the body. You cannot have God and forsake the body. You can't do it. I said you can't do it. So you can't have what God has. You can't do the things that God wants you to do. You can't be full of the things that God wants you full of. You can't be. It's an impossibility. If you forsake the body, amen? We have to remember these things. It is so important to know this. We have to be body-minded people. And when I mean body-minded, I don't mean like what we put on or what we're wearing or who we need to be body-minded people. We need to be kingdom-minded people. We need to think of the plan of God. That has to be the foremost and most important to us, amen? Praise the Lord. This came to me as I was preparing this message. You want the end, the finished product, but without the right foundation, it will all crumble. You know, you can't build a house on a worthless foundation. You have to build it on the right foundation, founded in the right place. Amen? See, it's not wrong to come into church hurting and to get answers. I'm not saying that, and I'll say it again. It is not. But if we are Christians and we stay in the same place month after month and year after year, something is off. Something is wrong. If you are a Christian and you can't give more the next year because you have an increase, that's not God's fault. God wants you. He set a way up for you to increase. If you aren't increasing, it is not God's fault. It is your fault. I'm talking about any area, but especially in finances. We have finances for the church. We increase. Praise the Lord. We want to increase every year. Every year, this church should be increasing financially. Why? Because the people should be. But guess what? If the people don't increase, the church ain't going to increase either. God's kingdom won't increase. God can't supply because God doesn't supply things magically by raining down money or anything else out of heaven. He does it through faith. Your obedience to faith. And I think next week we're probably going to be talking about faith, amen, and how to activate, how to use it, all that stuff, and what it actually is, amen, because we need faith to live. Praise the Lord. But see, we have to be body-minded. If we're always focused on ourselves, we're never going to get there. Praise God. Now, the body, we're talking about the body. You know, the Bible, we're going to see this here soon, but the Bible talks about the body being many parts, and we're all those parts individually, amen. Praise the Lord. But I got to thinking about this, and I was like, imagine going to the gym and working out only one muscle. So you never do anything else with anything, but you just say you go to the gym and you just, like, you lift weights with one arm, so you're just working out that bicep muscle, right? You know what I mean? You just eat Twinkies, ding-dongs all the time, and you never do anything else. You sit on the couch. You don't even go to the gym. Say you just lay on the couch, and you just sit there with one arm just lifting that weight over and over. That muscle's going to get bigger, isn't it? It's going to get stronger, isn't it? But what's the rest of the body going to look like? What's the rest of the body going to look like? See, we need all the muscles working, amen? When you go to, you know, I hear people go to the gym, they have leg day and arm day. I just have get through the day, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But when I go to the gym, but But you know, they're focusing. A bodybuilder's focusing on building the parts of the body, and they want to make them nice, and they want to make them strong, and they don't want one being weaker than the other. They want them all being strong and doing what they ought to do. Amen. But that's the same way the body of Christ is supposed to be. We're the body. We're members individually. Some people may be a hand. Some people may be a finger. Some people may be a foot. Praise the Lord. But whatever you are, you have to be strengthened. Amen. Otherwise, the body isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we want, that's why we preach the word, because we want this body strong. Hallelujah. I want you all supplied. Why? Because you'll listen, like, your tithe is not what, as a pastor, and you could take this wrong, but your tithe is not what I'm after. I'm after the increase in your life. Yeah, I don't care about your tithe, because you come in right now, your tithe may be nothing. I remember when my wife and I first started coming to church, our tithe meant nothing. What do I mean it meant nothing? I mean, it was literally nothing. 10% of almost nothing is still almost nothing. It's even closer to almost nothing, amen? But we don't do the same as we did before. We've increased over the years. Why? Because we've increased it. Because we've activated it. Because we became body-minded and we stopped being us-minded. And when we did that, God increased our homes. He increased our finances. He paid off debt. See, these things don't happen unless we hook up with God. And it doesn't have to be finances. It could be health and healing. It could be anything that you want. You could need, maybe you need help, but you won't serve. Praise the Lord. You won't have help. Amen. Hallelujah. But see, a lot of people, they want what I had over the years. I'm going to tell you honestly, a lot of people, they saw the time that I got to spend with my pastor. They saw the trips that I got to go on, the places I got to go. A lot of people wanted that, but a lot of people weren't willing to do what I was willing to do. A lot of people told my pastor from the beginning. I said, listen, I said, you need something at 2, you want a light bulb, change at 2 in the morning? I said, you call me and you let me do it. Yeah, absolutely. And there was no telling him no. There was times where we were on family trips, we were on our way to go somewhere, and I got a phone call, something that was urgent and needed. Praise the Lord. Or maybe even something, there was times when it wasn't even something that seemed so urgent and needed, but it was something he wanted done, and guess what? I dropped everything to go do it. That's why my family's blessed. Hallelujah. That's why my family's blessed. And you know why else they're blessed? Because they were okay with it. Because they never said, oh, Dad, you got to stay here. And then my wife said, oh, you can't go do that. No, my wife, you want to know why our family's blessed? You want to know why my wife is blessed? And you want to know why more is coming to her? Because my wife has always been one that said, honey, you do whatever you got to do for the Lord. I'll be behind you the whole way. Amen. I'll tell you what, you don't want a wife. If you're a man and you got a wife, you don't want a wife unless you like that. And if you're a wife and you're not like that, well, praise the Lord, you need to change. And if you're a husband and you're not like that, then you need to change. Praise the Lord. That's the way it's got to be. Anything for the plan of God, anything to follow God, anything to do what he wants to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why people receive. Hallelujah. Do you know why most people in churches, you know why most people in family churches, or a lot of people in family churches even don't look like that? Because most people don't do this. Most people don't have the heart to serve. Most people don't have the heart to say, I'll do whatever it takes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, because most people aren't body-minded. But see, if you want more, if you want to increase more, it's not the reason we do things. But we don't do that when we're just so selfish, full of ourselves. Praise the Lord. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you spend your time on? What do you spend your money on? What do you spend your thoughts on? What do you spend your life on? Praise the Lord. What do your children spend their time on? What do they spend their thoughts on? What do they spend their money on? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what these. Wherever you are, that's where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. There your treasure is. Amen. It's real easy. And let's see. Listen, that's not always a commendable thing. Sometimes that's not a good thing at all. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking back to that one muscle workout. Amen. You know when it is desirable to do a one muscle workout? Is it something like rehab? You know what I mean? If you've been injured or something, I remember when I was in a car accident, my hand, I couldn't even close my fingers to touch each other. And when I finally could get them to touch each other, I couldn't even hold a piece of paper. I couldn't squeeze my fingers tight enough to hold a piece of paper between them. It would just simply slide right out. Amen? That's where it was. So what did I do? I had to go through rehab, and they had to work that and work that and work that. But is rehab preferable? No, we don't want to have to rehab. Does anyone say, hey, I would rather go to the gym and not go to rehab? You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be increasing instead of just getting back up to basic level. You know what I'm saying? But see, that's what a lot of Christians are. A lot of Christians are in rehab. A lot of Christians are living in rehab. Why? Because they're so focused on that. And this is the trick of the devil. This is the most ironic thing about it. If it's actually irony, I don't know. But the crazy thing about it is that Christians, they listen to the devil, and they don't realize they're listening to the devil. They're just taking the thoughts that are in their head, and they think, oh, it must be my thought. This is why people do bad things, because they take every thought that comes in their head as it must be theirs. And so then they go with it, they run with it, even though they hear the word tell them differently, because they think that they're going to get what they want, and then it always crashes and burns. And then there's a guy like me standing there in the backside that says, I told you. Now I don't come out and say, I told you so. But that's exactly what I'm saying. Listen, do this, God will bless you. Don't do this, God won't bless you. I don't know why people go to church and don't do the word. I don't get it. I mean, I really don't understand why people go to church and don't want to do the word. Why don't you want to do what blesses you? Why don't you want to stop doing what removes from you? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why do I serve God the way I do? Because I got tired of doing things that removed from my life. I got tired of losing all the time. I got tired of coming up against doors that don't open all the time. I got tired of coming up to mountains that I couldn't climb all the time. I needed a different way, praise the Lord. And sooner or later, I got to the point where I was like, I'm just going to do it right. Yeah, I don't always like what it says. Who cares? I'm going to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's all that consecration, this is what living a Christian life is. Listen, we don't have to get condemnation about it. We don't have to sit there and be all sad about what we do. But we need to be body-minded, amen? And we just need to change it around. If you haven't been, just change it around. Say, I'm going to start today. Praise the Lord. Listen, you may not want to be body-minded, but it's the body that gives the rest of the parts life. Without the parts, the body lives, but without the body, the parts die. I can cut my hand off, throw it over there in the corner. And in a few days, it probably ain't going to smell so good. It ain't going to look so good. You certainly aren't going to take it and put it back on. Conversely, the body will still live. It'll be without the hand. It may not be as useful as it was before, but it'll still move on. And see, this is what a lot of Christians don't understand. They don't understand that there are parts of the body, that the body can live without them. Yeah. Listen, like I remember a time where I stopped going to church because of whatever reason. I stopped doing it. And I'll tell you what, churches still went on. Yeah. They still thrived. Yeah. They still did what they did. They still got people saved. They still got people helped. Uh-huh. And all the time, I'm over here in the corner rotting. You can't be separate from the body and live. You can't be. And if your mind, if your heart is separate from the body, then you won't stay connected. There is nothing that can separate me except for God himself from my pastor and from my local church. There is nothing. There is no thing. Why? Because that's where my life is. Oh, that Christians would understand your life is in the local church. When you put it down, when you just for anything, for any reason, maybe for even good reasons, it's not God, and you can't live, you can't thrive. People don't understand this. Like, God gave us the church to give us a way of thriving, of living, of having everything that He had for us. He said it's first found here. Praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. You cannot have what is only found in the body being separate from it. You can't have it. It's not going to work. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, this is not a bad message. I know these things can be sobering and stuff, but it's not. We're not talking about bad things. This is like should stir us up and say, wait a minute. Because listen, for some reason, only when you get correction in good things does it hurt your mind. And what I mean by that, and I'm in that boat too. Sometimes you'll hear what the truth is and you don't like it. You don't want to do it. You start getting mad about it. That's just the devil working on your flesh. Yeah, because like no, in no other thing, you know what I mean? You don't go to the gas station and you go to put the diesel thing nozzle into your car, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, no, your car runs on gas, right? This happened the other night, right? Kind of, praise the Lord. Something different. We were driving a truck. He said, this is diesel, right? And I said, no, it's not diesel. You better not put diesel in a gas engine, amen? Because it is going to... But he didn't get mad at me thinking, well, you're so mean and you're trying to take so much from me because you're telling me not to put the right thing in. No, I'm telling him to put the right thing in because it works out when he puts the right thing in. Listen, if we put the wrong thing in, it wouldn't have gone very far, would it? He wasn't mad about it. It would have been foolish to be mad about it. So why do people get mad when they hear the truth of the word? Because it steps on their pet cows or their pet sacred cows. Yeah, it walks all over their sacred cows and their ideals and everything else. But listen, we don't correct the Bible. God doesn't correct to hurt. He corrects because He loves us. Yeah. Amen. Do you when you see your kid running towards a street with busy street cars going back and forth? Do you sit there and be like, oh, well, I hope they make it? No, you don't do that. Why? It's foolishness. And if you say, stop, are you a horrible person for saying, stop? No, you do that because you want to protect them, right? Why do you think God gave us His word? Why do you think He gave us church? Why do you think He gave us pastors? Jesus looked on the people and He had compassion on them because they were like sheep with no shepherd. They were scattered. The Bible says they were scattered and faint like sheep without a shepherd. That's what people are without church. That's what people are without a pastor. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 12:12. You're like, what does this have to anything to do with communion? It has everything to do with it. And you're going to find that out. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Look at this. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Amen? Being many. There's many parts of the body. This is my pinky on my right hand. This is the next finger on the right hand. This is my thumb. Hallelujah. These are no less part of my body than my foot. Amen? They're no less part of my body than my knee. Hallelujah? They're no less part of my body than my butt. Hallelujah? They're all parts of my body. It's all parts working together to make one body. Amen? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. That's what He's saying. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks. Everybody says, it doesn't matter what you are when you come in. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. Amen. Doesn't matter if you're black. Doesn't matter if you're white. Doesn't matter if you're Greek. Doesn't matter if you're Italian. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter if you're orange. Doesn't matter if you're red. It doesn't matter if you're yellow. It doesn't matter if you're green. It doesn't matter if you're... It does not matter what you are. When you come in, you're one body. Amen. Whether slaves or free, and all have been made, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but what? Many. Amen? If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, or not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, this is what we have when we have Christians who will sit in a church seat and then they'll focus on themselves only, won't focus on the body. They're saying, you know, I want to be part of this, but I'm not, you know, I want to be my own thing too. Yeah. But see, you can't do that. God has made us to be a body. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where is it? 16. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members of the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. Hallelujah. But I want to be the pastor today. Don't have that choice. I want to be a pastor in general. You don't have that choice. God made the one a hand or a foot or a mouth or whatever He made you. I want to be this. Why does so-and-so get to do this? It doesn't matter why so-and-so gets it. Where are you? Where are you located in the body? Why does it matter that you know where you're located in the body? Because if you're a foot trying to be a hand, it ain't going to work out so good, is it? Amen? If you're a nose trying to be a big toe, it ain't going to work out so good, is it? Amen? Praise the Lord. We all need to be the part that we are and do the part that we're supposed to do because that's how the body is increased. Praise God. I think we're going to get here. Amen? Praise the Lord. I always forget where I was. Get talking. Verse 19, and if there are all, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. Amen? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Praise the Lord. One of the things that churches have done to people is they have made Christians into invalids. How have they done this? The pastor is the call-all. It's the pastor who you got to call when you're having this trouble or when you have this idea or when you want to do this. When somebody's sick or when somebody's dying, when somebody's in the hospital, well, the pastor's got to be the one to do it. This is all made up of not scripture. This is made up of dead religion. Praise the Lord. What is it? Pastors that can't do anything. They don't know how to follow God. They don't know how to teach the word. And so what they do is they made invalids. And so everybody's running to the pastor. I get calls in the evening sometimes of things that have no importance of anything. Right. Well, listen, I have family too. I have time too. My job is not to do the job of a foot or not to do the job of a hand. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a little bit of correction here, but this is truth. Yeah. My job is not to cover everybody else. My job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Going out and calling and praying over the sick. But you get Christians that constantly come to the pastor, you got to pray over me. They don't know how to use faith for themselves. They don't know how to use the word themselves because they sit there being invalids. They don't know how to get up and start doing things themselves. They're always depending on somebody else. And so why do things not happen? Because the people aren't doing it. Listen, one pastor, Jesus, why did he create many pastors? Because Jesus knew he couldn't get to everybody. One pastor is not going to get to everybody. And it's not my job to. It's not the pastor's job to, hallelujah. Everybody say, it's not the pastor's job to. Praise the Lord. It's not my job. That's why when you see somebody who is hurting, you reach out to them. When you see somebody, you pray over them. You release faith for them, hallelujah. When you see need, you pick it up, hallelujah. Glory to God. When you see the need, amen? When this is how people think, you know, when we talk about, well, we're going to plant a church. We're going to plant another church, and we need people to sign up. We need people to say, hey, I'm going to put something down maybe in my life so I can create a place for somebody else in another town to come learn about God the way that I have. That's your job. Yeah, it's my job too, but it's your job. You don't sit there and say, well, everybody else is doing it, because you know what? Everybody thinks that way, and nobody else is doing it. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I could get into some things, some numbers for you that would probably shock some of you. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you right now, when you constantly think, well, somebody else is doing it, nobody else is doing it, because everybody else is thinking the same thing, except for the faithful. But God will increase the faithful. He'll increase the faithful, the ones who want to see it happen. The ones say, hey, God, it's more than just about me. I'm going to do something for your kingdom. I'm going to do something to expand your kingdom because I may be going to heaven, but I want to see everyone else go too. It's not enough for me. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. And see, this is the thing about God. We don't have to, you know, nothing has to be, it doesn't have to be about like, you know, there was that one widow woman that brought two mites, they said. It was like two little pennies, and God said that she put in more than everybody else. Why? Because they gave out of their abundance. Sometimes what you have is a little, but if you start with a little, God will increase you to much. If you give seed to the sower, absolutely. God wants us to be body-minded. He wants us to think more than just, you know, sometimes we've had to make sacrifices so we could supply the church with something. Absolutely. We just said this year, my wife and I just said this year, we make less money this year than we did last year. Why? Because she didn't get a raise and her costs went up. Praise the Lord. And I didn't get a raise, praise the Lord. So we make less money this year than we did last year, and we said in our hearts, we're going to increase our giving to Corey. Why? Because we want to see that work happen. Do we have more money to work with than we did last year? No, we have less money to work with. See, it won't always be so. Don't feel bad for me, because I'm going to tell you what's happening here. We're putting the principles of God to practice. We're putting our faith out there. We're saying it doesn't matter what it looks like now, because God will supply us, and He always will. Amen? If you don't stretch yourself, you are never going to get bigger. Amen? If you don't stretch yourself, you're never going to grow into those things that God has for you. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. If you're not body-minded, then all this stuff is going to be, let's see, if you're going to have a hard time with anything I'm saying today, I'm just going to tell you right now, you are not body-minded. Right. If anything I'm saying today is bothering you, you are not body-minded. Right. You are you-minded. Right. Why? Because you're worried about what you got. What does it matter what you have? You are here for 80 years, give or take. I'm up at the ante a little bit. You're up here for 80 years, give or take a few. What do you think eternity is compared to 80 years? The fools think about just the 80 years. If you are just concerned about these 80 years, listen, God will take care of you here if you're focused beyond those 80 years. You understand what I'm saying? But if that's what, listen, if you, most of us aren't newborn babies. Is there any newborn babies right here, right now? Praise the Lord. Most of us, I would say if you took, there's a good half of us anyways that are past the midway point of what we consider the average lifespan. What does that mean? You ain't even got 80 years, son. You ain't even got 80 years, daughter. You ain't got that much time. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying we can do that. We can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, or we can just try to continue not laying up treasures for ourselves here. Because I'm going to tell you this too. This is the other aspect. People get mad at this kind of stuff. I'll give you the other aspect of it. You're not increasing in your life, are you? You aren't. You came into church hoping for something, but you haven't been increasing in your life. I look out here, I don't see any multimillionaires here that I know of. But I could be pretty accurate in saying that none of you are to that place where you never are concerned about a thing, where money is never a thought in your mind. Praise the Lord. How do I know that? I'm right there in that same boat. But I'm increasing because I'm heading on with God. Amen. See, the only way to increase is through the Lord. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about your joy. You know, why do I say that? I'm not just talking about the finances. Because I know that people always point it back to that. Well, you're just talking about money again, Pastor. If that's what you're thinking, fine, think that. But go somewhere else and think it, because I don't want you here. I told my wife this morning, I am not going to pastor a church. I will not pastor a church of people that aren't faithful. I won't do it. I will not do it. I refuse to do it. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I won't do it. And I know I ain't going to have it. I'm going to have people who are faithful. Yeah, right. Who are people who are faithful? Only people who give money, right? No, that's not what I'm saying. People who are faithful, people who are hooked up to the vision that say, you know what, I can't be without what God's doing because what God's doing is more important to me than anything. If you're focused on your own self, be focused on your own self somewhere else or change and stay here. But choose one of the two. Praise the Lord. God will take care of you when you're focused on Him. Jesus said, don't worry about you, I'll take care of you, worry about me. And he wasn't saying worry about him, but he's like, think about my stuff. Think about what I have you to do, and you'll be taken care of. See, this is the problem with this world. You want to know what the problems in society all come down to? Everybody's focused on themselves. Everybody wants to have it their way. You are not, this is not Burger King drive-thru. Have we said that before? God is not Burger King. He is the King, but He isn't Burger King. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His burgers are much better than Burger King's, although they're pretty good. Hallelujah. For fast food, you know, they're not bad. Bob's burgers are a lot better. If you ever have a chance to have one of them, if you don't, well, yeah, just come up to church picnic and you'll have a Bob burger. Hallelujah. He cooks good burgers. Good burger, Bob. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see. Where were we? There was something I wanted to see in there. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to skip on. Hallelujah. If you have a piece of a car that is only somewhat attached, it either falls off, it gets removed, or it gets reattached, right? Yeah. It only gets reattached if it's worth it to reattach it. Amen? If it's rusted, if it's broken, if it's not working right, if it just refuses to do what it does, what do they do? They have a recall on it. They take it off. They put something else on. It's the same way with the body of Christ. We got people in the body of Christ that are hanging on by a thread, dear Jesus. They're hanging on by a thread, and they're expecting God. They keep going to God in prayer, expecting Him to attach, but they won't be attached. Yeah. What, they stop working right? We had to take a U-Haul the other day, amen, to get the chairs for Corey. And I turn on the windshield wipers, and that windshield wiper strap's going, whoop, 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 and poof, flips right over. How many know that a backwards windshield wiper just don't work right? Amen? I'm glad it wasn't raining hard. I'm glad it wasn't snowing hard, because that windshield wiper, I flipped it back over, whoop, 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 flipped back over. Now, I don't do the maintenance on U-Hauls, but I can tell you what, that the person who does is not going to keep that windshield wiper on. What are they going to do? They're taking it off, they're throwing it away, and they're getting another one. And the same principle works in the kingdom of God. Jesus told us we are the vine, He is the vine, we are the branches. He said if we don't bear fruit, we get cut off and thrown into the fire. That's what He said. If we don't bear fruit. If we don't bear fruit. Christian, I'll go back to what I said before. If your life looks the same today as it did a year ago, something's wrong. And it ain't God. If your life is, if you're in the same financial predicament you were always in, something's off, and it ain't God. You aren't bearing fruit. Because God said He gives seed to the sower. That means if you sow, you get seed. If you don't sow, you don't get seed. What is the seed? It's anything that you sow. Do you sow your time? Do you sow your energy? Do you sow your love? Do you sow your prayers? That's another big one. There's people that just pray, constantly praying, Lord, Lord, help me with this. 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 They have no idea. They have no concept of the kingdom of God. God didn't say keep praying for everything that you need. He said all these things will be added to you. Now, He said you can ask. He said there's nothing wrong with asking, but people aren't just asking. They're focused on their asking. What can you do for me, God? Not what can I do for you, God? And see, this is what God is not an idiot. God is not a fool. He's not sitting up there in heaven like, all right, I'll give them anything they want, and they're going to do anything they want with it, and I'm going to keep giving it. God won't do that. God is not going to do that. So if that's what you want, well, maybe you better find a different place to be, because you ain't going to find that God here. Consequently, you're not going to find that God anywhere, because that God don't exist. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're broken and you can't be reattached, because you won't be reattached, then you aren't going to be reattached. Glory to God. If you're full of poison and you make the body sick, you will be removed. I won't remove you, but the Holy Spirit will. Listen, a poison is a part that doesn't work right. It's a poison. It's something that poisons the rest of the body. What is that? Somebody comes into church, they never want to do anything for God, but they want to sow discord. They want to sit there and talk about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and this and that. They never want to tithe. They would never want to give of themselves. They never want to make something better. They don't want to sit down and pray about it. They just want to talk about everybody else. Poison. You're going to get removed. Hallelujah. Oh, just hang on. You watch it. You watch it happen. Praise the Lord. It happens. Happens all the time. We've had poison removed from here before. People come to me, Pastor this, Pastor that. I've had people pleading with me, Pastor, sit down and talk with me. Pastor, I can't barely afford to live. I can't afford to live. I don't know what I'm going to do. I certainly can't give. I certainly can't tithe. Yet they're out there getting nails done. They're out there getting hair done. They're out there smoking cigarettes. They're out there. Listen, I'm not talking about any of this stuff being bad. I'm just talking from the standpoint. I'm saying some stuff isn't preferable. But I'm saying you're sitting there talking about how poor you are, but you got everything. You got more than we got. And I'm not calling myself poor, amen? You see what I'm saying? There's people like that all the time. They're like, well, I got to be able to have this standard and that standard and this standard, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but see, that's the thing. You don't ever get it. So what? But there's people that would. There's churches out there that would say, "Oh, come in and we'll give you $50 here or there." We don't give money to people. Why? Because every time you give money to people, they're gone. I've had very little, and I was taught this from my pastor. Churches that get money to people lose them, all the time. And there's people that come in crying a sob story. We had somebody in here once telling us how they needed $5,000 for something. Yeah, they had a giving statement that year of like 17 cents. So you want me to give God's money You want me to give you $5,000 of God's money for something that is ridiculous when you won't sit in church and do anything? You won't sit in church, be part of the church, but you want to come in once in a while and want to do that, and you gave 17 cents or $1.17 or something like that last year. How do I know? Because we don't have to send those ones out. Amen? It costs more. If it costs me more to send your giving statement to you, praise the Lord, glory to God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that ain't right. If it costs me more to send it to you, I got to pay staff to do it and stuff like that. You know, there's a yearly minimum of what we have to send out. You know, well, praise God. Praise the Lord. But how much did a giving just increase even our tax return this year? Yeah, huge. We went up thousands of dollars because of what we gave. This is what we gave to the church. Isn't it great to get blessed and see people? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God wants us increase. He wants us better. He wants us going somewhere. But people come in and they have these issues. They're like, they come in with the issues they want them fixed, but then they don't do what they got to do to fix it. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, we're moving along. We got to get close to it because we got to get close to the end here. We're working into the communion now specifically. Now we see that we're part of the body. 1 Corinthians 11, 17. We just got to flip back a little bit. 11:17. We're going to read through verse 31. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. What is he talking about? These people weren't coming together for the betterment in context. This is what happened. They were coming together for their own things, their own desires, because they were hungry, because they wanted, and they weren't coming together for the greater good. He said, so I do not praise you for this, since you come together not for the better, for the worse. Listen, this was spoken specifically to them. How would you like if I stood up here and said, listen, you guys aren't coming here for the better of everyone. I don't praise you because you're coming here for the worse. Wow. That would feel pretty bad, wouldn't it? That's what is happening here. Amen? For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And so this is what we're talking about. This is the Lord's Supper. Coming together, they're thinking about themselves. Amen? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others and is hungry, and another is drunk. Well, praise God. They're talking about getting drunk on the communion wine, and people are just going out there. You know, we could see this in a little bit. We like to congregate together once in a while out there. I've actually heard it said of people that go through the line and don't consider who's behind them and will load up their plate. Yeah, they'll do that, and then behind them, somebody at the end of the line doesn't get to eat anything. Why is that? I never, no, I'm not going to say that. Yeah, I will. I never get deviled eggs, darn it. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. We don't eat lots of deviled eggs. That's a joke. But you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, we got to think about each other. It's not just about you. Listen, if you walk away, you got 4 hot dogs on your plate. You can go back and get another hot dog. But you know, that's the same thing that's happening here. It seems little, but see, it's not body-minded. Why do we let the adults go through first? Because it's not all about the kids. We need to teach them it's not all about them first. Amen? There's respect that needs to be given to the elderly folks. And so we give those people preference, not because we're looking down on them, because we're looking up to them. We give them preference. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But they were doing it with this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 22. Just thinking about the deviled eggs, sir. Praise God, hallelujah. But they are good, aren't they? No. And she doesn't like them, but... Verse 22, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do often as you drink, do it drink it and in it, remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now remember, these are in context of talking about what? Serving one another, thinking about one another, being body-minded, amen? That's where we do the Lord's Supper and we always repeat these scriptures, but do we always think of the context that these scriptures come out of? The scriptures come out of the idea of when you do the Lord's Supper, are you thinking about the body? Are you thinking about when we take time to reflect on our lives when we take the Lord's, when we partake of the Lord's Supper? Are we reflecting on what we're doing and why we're doing it? And is it for God or not? Amen? Therefore, praise the Lord, we're going to read through verse 31. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is what communion is all about. We come together, we think about the blood that was shed. We think about the body that was crucified, and we think about the body that Jesus has put together afterwards. We discern the Lord's body, amen? Praise the Lord. The word to discern is to separate and make a distinction. We separate the Lord's body, and we say there's something different about it. There's something more important about it. It is not something we're just casual with. The body is you and I. The body is the church. The body is each other. See, we want the answers in life, and we'll get them when we're body-minded. We want the direction in life, but we get them as we're body-minded. Amen? As the body comes together and the parts function the way they should, then the body increases and increases. We'll increase in anointing. We'll increase in ability, power in prayer. We'll come together. We'll see amazing miracles. These are the things that come out of that. What do you need in your life? You need that depression change. That's a miracle that comes out of being body-minded. You need that healing in your body. That's a miracle that comes out of being body-minded. You need that financial increase in your life so you can pay those bills, so you can get beyond where you ever were, so you can give more that you wanted to give. That is being body-minded. Hallelujah. That is all increase that comes out of being body-minded. Right. Praise the Lord. Whatever we need freedom from the thoughts. We need freedom from what always bound us before. Body-minded. Amen. But look at this. Verse 30. This is serious. Look at this. This is New Testament scripture. For this reason, what? Not discerning the Lord's body, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That word sleep is not to fall asleep like take a nap. That word sleep is death. There are many that are dead. There are many that are sick. There are many that are weak, not able, because they did not discern or do not discern the Lord's body. Sometimes the things that we face in life is because we're just simply not putting importance where importance is due. Sometimes it's because we're not doing exactly what God, thinking about the things that God wanted us to think about. Amen? Look at this. In verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's talking about here on earth. It's the New Testament after Jesus died. This is why people go through things a lot of times that they don't need to go through, because they're simply too full of themselves that they don't realize that the life is in the body. The life is not separate from the body. Listen, if you've come in off the street and you've come out of something that was not desirable, that was not good in your life, and you try to bring that into the church and maintain that and hold on to that and keep that, listen, you're holding on to the death that was out there in the world. People do this in church all the time. Christians live this way all the time. I've seen churches, I've heard things from other churches, I've been in churches where it's just me. This is my idea, this is what we should do. This is how we should run things. Pastor, I think we should do this now and then. We should have this program now. Is it of God? It's not being body-minded, you think. And because you don't, and then if the pastor says, no, your idea isn't good. Listen, I don't even say that, but there's a lot of times I could say that. What if I just said to you, your idea stinks, get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. Because that's the truth. But see, the Bible also tells me to talk in love. So I can't say that to you. I only say it when I'm preaching. But sometimes your idea stinks. It's worthless. Get it out of here. It's no good. It'll take us somewhere we don't want to go. Praise the Lord. God doesn't lead that way. But everybody got to have an opinion, right? We got social media outlets. Everybody have an opinion. Oh, I know a lot about this because, well, I read two articles on some, or I listened to some dummy commentator talking on it. So now I know all about it. Yeah. I got all the answers. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got all kinds of answers for everything, but the Word points us to the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not discerning the body. Amen. Flip over to me real quick. We're getting close to getting into communion here, because we're going to partake, and we're gonna discern the body. Amen. We're gonna take time to think about it. Praise the Lord. Go Luke 22. Amen. Luke 22:25-27. This is the actual Lord's Supper. This is when Jesus was actually doing it with the disciples. They were partaking of it. This is actually when it happened. And we see the same thing then. So listen, they saw the same thing then. And then in the Corinthian church, they saw the same thing later. And we see the same thing in today's church. We see the same thing. Not discerning the Lord's body. What's discerning the Lord's body? Separating it, making it of importance. Setting it aside, saying, listen, this is something that matters to me. Amen? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see how all this is connecting? You see how it all comes together? Praise the Lord. So they had taken of the... And I just want to say this real quick. I love this because in verse 15 he says, Jesus said, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. With fervent desire, because of what he was teaching here, what he was bringing here was so important. With fervent desire, I love that. I just couldn't get away from that. So verse 25, and he said to them, let's start in 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which one of them should be considered the greatest. There was a dispute among them. Who's going to be the greatest? Well, that's pretty prideful, isn't it? People do the same thing today. How do you do the same thing? When you think about yourself above everyone else, you are saying, I am the greatest. I am the one who matters here. When you say, well, I can't do this because of this, you are the one that's saying, whatever that is what's greater to you, what's more important to you. There is nothing. If my wife stops serving God, my wife and I cease to have a relationship. If I stop serving God, my wife and I will stop or cease having a relationship. Why? Because if I'm not serving God, I'm worthless to her. And if she's not serving God, she's worthless to me. Yeah, absolutely. And that's 100% scriptural. How do we know? Because God himself cuts off those who do not produce fruit. If you do not continue in the way, if something is keeping you back, if something is holding you from jumping full in to God, you need to cut that thing off before you get cut off. Yeah, absolutely, because it's worthless to you. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen, if you're somebody that doesn't have a spouse that's here, I'm not saying just go home and divorce your spouse. But if they are hindering you from doing the things of God, if they start putting in things that, if they are constantly putting up things and fighting you, serving God and being part of the body, there's a point when, yeah, you may have to consider that. But until then, you pray for them. You pray for them and you show them, you lead them and be an example to them. Yeah. Amen? And it may be 40 years and they'll turn. We'll believe it won't be that long, but it may be. I've heard of that happening after 40 years because someone was consecrated. The other one finally came in. Whatever it takes, pray for them, show them. But if they're hindering you from going forward, that's a totally different thing. Listen, I'll say it loud and proud right now. Do not get in between me and my God. Do not get in between me and my God. I am going on with God. If you get in between, I'm going to kick you in the pants and get you out the way. Because if you're trying to get in between me and my God, it ain't going to happen. Praise the Lord. I'll go a step further. Don't get in between me and my pastor. Yeah, you want to get in between me and my pastor? You see ya. Hallelujah. It isn't going to happen. Why? Because that's one God set up here for me. Hallelujah. Don't get in between me and my church. Why? Because we're not talking about culty, you know, weird stuff here. Yeah, some cults have taken it and run with it, and the devil has exploited that. Why do you think he's exploited that? Because he wants people to stop serving God. Amen? Because he's going to always, well, that's a cult. That's what they always say about it. It's a cult. Well, show me how it's a cult. It's scripture. Everything we preach is scripture, right? If you disagree, well, praise the Lord, then you can go to some other non-cult. But praise the Lord. But right now, we're Jesus called. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. What are you saying? If you're great, become small. Yeah, because that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Now look at this. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus came as the one who serves. He washed their feet. He fed them. He broke the bread. He gave it. He served them. God served them. He said, let you be like me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we need to discern the body. We need to understand what's going on there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to, I'm going to flip over real quick. I'm just going to read you here from here. Galatians 5:13 says, for you brethren have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Does not the body take care of itself? When you go and you get in the shower and you wash up, right? Isn't the hand washing the foot? Isn't the fingers scrubbing the hair? The body takes care of itself. The body should take care of itself. The body is meant to take care of itself. Amen? When you brush your teeth, somebody else don't come up to you and brush your teeth. Amen? It's the body that does it. We are one body. That is exactly what we're supposed to be. And because we, and when we come together for the Lord's Supper, when we partake of the elements here, then we need to discern amongst ourselves. We need to discern. Am I body-minded? Am I focusing on the things that God wants me to focus on? And if you're not, don't be in condemnation about it. You repent before God. You ain't got to repent before me. You repent before God and say, listen, I'm going to do that. Now I'm going to share something with you. We have a meeting afterwards. We're having a fairly quick meeting where I'm going to share the vision of the next year. I was praying some things out last night. There's some really good things about this year. Some other things as well. So if you can stay for that, great. If you don't want to, that's fine too. You can leave. But if you're connected, I highly suggest you stay and hear what the vision is for the next year. But we need to, God wants to take us into places. And he's only going to take it if we start putting down those things which keep us back and step into those things. It's not a bad thing. We put down the weights that ensnare us, and we're going to step up into the things of God. Amen? Because the blessing of the Lord is upon us. Amen? And we need to walk in it. Hallelujah. We're going to be the church that walks in it. Amen? We're going to be the church, hallelujah, together that walks in it. I want to see everybody in here. This year has got to be increased. If it's not increased, it's because you're not following God. And if you're not following God and you don't know how, you just get a hold of me after service and we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. Amen. Praise the Lord.